children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. Kids of all ages, all stages, prevention, and at risk. We have a helpline 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. for referrals for therapists, inpatient, outpatient clinics. If anyone you know may need our number, please jot it down. Maybe it's for yourself, a neighbor, a friend, somebody you sit next to in shul. Our confidential number is 718-758-0400. We're in the schools. We're doing programs with the young adults, elementary and high school. We do staff trainings. Call us if you'd like us to do a program in your child's school for prevention. Tonight, I'm very honored to have with us Dr. Fred Penzel. Doctor, it's wonderful having you on tonight. I want to thank you for making the time in your busy schedule. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Penzel is also the author of The Hair Pulling Problem, A Complete Guide to Trichotillomania. And tonight we are going to talk about an obsessive compulsive disorder, trichotillomania. And I would like the doctor to explain to all my listeners what is trichotillomania and what can we do about it if we have it.
Okay. Trichotillomania is a disorder of the pulling out of one's own hair from various locations on the body. It could be anywhere. Actually, the most common locations are the head, the eyebrows, and eyelashes, although it's not unusual to pull body hair also. We believe there may be some genetic components to the problem, and we believe that it has some kind of origins in sensory regulation, basically. It's an attempt for a person to regulate levels of stimulation within their nervous system. People pull when they're stressed or even happily excited, or when they're bored and inactive. It could happen either way. Some people mistakenly think that it's stress-related, but stress is only just one potential input. It's actually a much more complex disorder than that, and it's influenced by a person's environment. It's influenced by thoughts a person may be having, their sensory experiences. There's many, many inputs into this. And actually, trichotillomania is part of a larger group of disorders called body-focused repetitive behaviors, which includes not only hair-pulling disorder, or as it's now called, along with trichotillomania, there's something called excoriation disorder or compulsive skin picking, which includes things like people picking sores on their bodies, peeling skin from the bottom of their feet, picking skin from their lips, and such like. Also, compulsive nail biting and cuticle biting is also included in this also. You also see disorders that are similar to this in animals, actually. So we know it's not just limited to human beings. There are dogs and cats who suffer from similar disorders, and actually you see it in many forms of animals. So we think that this is something that is fairly common. There may be some kind of biochemical or genetic basis to this. They're still studying it now. It's probably going to be a while before they get to the roots of it. However, we do have effective treatment for it in terms of behavioral therapy. So we are able to do quite a bit in spite of the fact that we're still not certain as to how it originates.
So Dr. Penzel, you've been working with families for 36 years on different issues, including trichotillomania. I'm wondering, what is the most effective treatment for this?
Okay. What we have found over the years, treatment has sort of evolved. It started out with just some simple behavioral approaches, and now behavioral therapy is still the best treatment, but it's now become much more comprehensive. We try to identify all the potential triggers and inputs into the problem, that have influences on it. As I said earlier, it could be influences within the person's environment, their routine, their activities, their moods, emotions, and their beliefs or thoughts that are connected with these episodes. There's many, many things we look into. We do a very thorough behavioral analysis, and then what we try to do is design and implement a program for each person based on their particular inputs that helps control or modify these things, which then, lessens the pulling and ticking. We design a program, as I say, that's very individualistic. One person's program might be not at all similar to someone else's, but the basic principles that we work by are still basically the same.
So, I mean, some families view it as a mental health issue, and some families view it as they're just bored. This has come up in groups, on conversation, on our helpline. So I'd like to talk about both ways. You did mention some people do it out of boredom. They may be doing a repetitive behavior over and over. So can you address it in both ways, the boredom part and how it can be stemming from something else that just comes out during stress or anxiety or life, different issues, mental health issues, and OCD, please?
Well, it's not either or, stress or boredom or anything like that. Most people do it for a combination of reasons and do it in both conditions, actually. And there's a great deal of stigma attached to these because I've had patients who say, that if they had alopecia and their hair fell out, they could handle that a lot better than having to tell people that they did this to themselves. So it's very stigmatizing. Nobody wants to do this. Although at the moment people do it, it actually can be pleasurable and stimulating in some way. It can actually give a person stimulation when they're understimulated or, as we said, bored or inactive, or it can reduce stimulation when they're stressed or anxious. So it kind of functions in both ways. And most people who do these behaviors will endorse that, actually. So, but what makes all people similar is that it has been for many years a disorder of isolation and shame, basically, because people try to do their best to hide these things. They'll wear, hair pieces, wigs. They'll color in their scalp with magic markers, believe it or not. They use spray-on hair products. There's all sorts of ways that people do, things that they do to keep the problem hidden. And it has, over the years, been a very hidden problem in many ways. People can pull so subtly, sometimes they can actually do it when they're around other people and those other people wouldn't even notice. But the urge can be very compelling, and the person knows, that obviously it's going to result in an unpleasant consequence, that is, having bald spots or not having eyebrows or eyelashes or having no hair at all, actually. But they at the moment, they can't resist. This is where therapy comes in. It teaches them how to tolerate the discomfort that accompanies resisting and helps them to build that up. But a lot of families, a lot of groups of people don't recognize that this is something that the person has to learn to control. It's not something that they can just tell the person, well, why don't you just stop? Everybody who has this problem has been told that at one time or another, and it's very infuriating for sufferers because they can't just stop, and if they could just stop, of course they would. But it's often handled with anger, with punishment, with isolation, many bad ways that only compound the problem because it makes the person feel worse about themselves. It increases their stress, and it just contributes to the overall stigmatization of the disorder. But many people do recover and can do very well. And, you know, there's a lot of hope for this, but many people suffer in silence because either they're too ashamed or embarrassed to admit it, or they have talked about it with their doctors and gotten very negative responses. Some people have told me about their doctors, you know, explaining their problem to the doctor and just getting a very strange look from the doctor, or being treated as if, you know, there was something radically wrong with them as human beings. So often when people do try to get help, they you know, run into a great deal of misunderstanding or no understanding at all, unfortunately. And, you know, the medical profession and the psychological profession really have a lot to answer for in this, because they haven't done a very good job of educating professionals in how to screen for this and how to respond to people and how to treat them, basically. So, you know, we're trying to correct that, of course, but it's not the easiest job in the world.
No, it isn't. I'm sure of that. Dr. Penzel, I want to know, I know that there are families that struggle with a loved one that, you know, pulls on their hair or their skin, or, like you mentioned, different body parts, their lips. Often, depression occurs in individuals, I'm told, with this illness. And there are medications that sometimes doctors do recommend that are similar to meds that are taken for depression. Can you address, you know, some commonly used meds that are recommended and what your feeling is on them, please?
Okay, well, let me first preface that by saying that for pulling and picking and biting themselves, prescription medications have actually been shown to be mostly ineffective. When they are, when the problem is influenced by, say, depression or anxiety or some secondary problem or some accompanying problem, medication can help that, and that can help sort of indirectly, even if it's not helping the problem directly. It can also put the person in a better frame of mind so that they're more motivated to work on their disorder and to get help. When you're depressed, it's not easy to summon up the energy to work on therapy or to even feel worthy of therapy in the first place. So, you know, many doctors simply treat this with antidepressant medication, usually SSRI-type antidepressants, and most of the time, if they can't remedy, you know, like the accompanying condition, then they won't really do much for the pulling and picking. But for the pulling and picking generally won't really do anything much at all. Studies have shown this, actually. I'm not just saying this. There have been, you know, analyses of the effects of medication on this, and the results haven't been particularly positive. There actually is some studying going on right now on certain supplements, actually. There's a Dr. John Grant at the Chicago University Medical School has been studying two compounds, actually. One is called N-acetylcysteine, which is an amino acid, and an herbal compound called milk thistle. And those are showing actually some promising results in people. I've seen some promising results in some of my patients as well. So a lot more study needs to be done on these things. But it's quite interesting that these compounds, which are not prescription items that have been on the shelves for years, actually do seem to have some positive effects on this. There's also animal studies going on where they're trying to find markers, genetic markers and hormonal markers in animals to see if they can identify things that might be similar in human beings once they, you know, are more certain about what those are. So one other point about medication, which is very important, is that the tendency to do this can be latent in certain people. It can be like a predisposition, but it may not come out until they're put on certain classes of medications. I see quite a number of children who, when they were put on stimulant drugs for attention deficit disorder, drugs like Ritalin and other drugs in the family that belongs to, have started pulling and picking not long after studying these medications. It seemed to bring it out in them. So that's always a caution. And unfortunately, once the problem is expressed, discontinuing the stimulant medication doesn't seem to stop the pulling or picking either. So that's just, you know, something that not many people are aware of. I see it quite a bit in my practice.
We have with us Dr. Fred Penzel, who's a specialist in trichotillomania, which is hair pulling, and other picking at one's body. We are very, very pleased to have with us a doctor that has been dealing with families for over 36 years, and this is one of his specialties, which falls under an umbrella of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And Dr. Penzel, would you like to give out your number, please, so that families that are suffering with this can give you a call?
My office number is 631-351-1729.
And Dr. Penzel has been working with MASC parents for the last 21 years. He's very, very available to the families that he treats, and always a pleasure to deal with. Doctor, does trichotillomania lead to other problems ever?
No, I don't see this associated with anything else. As I say, people can become depressed as a result of having these disorders because of the nature of it and the effect it has on their lives. People sometimes give up socializing. They give up applying for jobs. They'll avoid going to school. Children often get teased or bullied, so this can have a lot of negative effects on a person's life. They often avoid outdoor activities like being out in the wind or going swimming, things like that that people normally enjoy. They tend to close themselves off from these things, so it can have very negative effects. Another thing you sometimes see also in people with these disorders, they can turn to substance abuse as a way of trying to self-medicate, such as alcohol or illegal drugs, things like that. I have seen that also over the years. So there are other spin-off problems that can result once you have this, but it doesn't lead to any other kind of disorders, basically, but just sort of either reactions to it or attempts to medicate it are where you see the problems arise.
And is for my listeners, can you explain how sometimes this is in genetics? Sometimes it's a family member that has OCD but doesn't have trichotillomania, but it does. I mean, why don't you answer that, please?
Yeah, OCD is actually quite different from this. This is probably, like you would say, like a distant cousin to OCD.
Right.
It has a lot of differences. OCD has, you know, intrusive, negative, repetitive thoughts. This disorder does not have that. And OCD has, like, a lot of superstitious and self-protective compulsions to deal with the anxiety caused by obsessive thoughts. And this doesn't really have that either. This more is like a sensory issue, as I said, and it's a self-regulation issue. So a lot of people tend to label anything repetitive as OCD. I also specialize in OCD and have specialized in OCD for 36 years as well, and I'm on the Science Advisory Board of the Obsessive Compulsion as well as the TLC Foundation for BFRBs, and I see a lot of both disorders, and sometimes you can see both in one person, but hair pulling or skin picking doesn't lead to OCD, and OCD doesn't lead to these disorders either. Sometimes you will see them together, but they're only, as they say, only very distantly related. A lot of people mistakenly think that this is OCD, and when I first went into practice, I started out specializing in OCD, and a lot of people started coming in with this thinking that it was OCD, which is actually how I got into treating it in the first place, because they had no place else to go, really. And as I say, common thinking was that it was OCD, but we now know that that's not exactly true and that they have very different characteristics.
And doctor, what resources are available, the foundation for, you know, they have for ADD, and they have resources available out there for, you know, diabetics. What are some of the resources that are available for people to learn more about trichotillomania and support?
Well, there's really one and really and only one main organization that has been around for many years, since I would say around 1990 thereabouts, for people with these disorders. It's, as I mentioned earlier, it's the TLC Foundation for Body Focused Repetitive Behaviors, or BFRBs, and it's BFRB.org is their website. They have an excellent website. They have a yearly conference. They just had one this year in April, and they rotate them around different parts of the country. And I will say that they're very worthwhile going to. All the experts who treat this disorder from around the country lecture and do workshops there. There are support groups, there's family groups. Wonderful organization. They send out they have sent out over these materials to schools, to even cosmetologists and hairdressers, to try to educate them, because sometimes they're the first ones to spot these problems in people. So it's a very, very helpful organization. It was founded by people with these disorders themselves, and has actually grown to a fairly good size. They sponsor a lot of research, and as I say, they will take the time to talk to people who call, and very wonderful organization, very giving.
I also know that there are groups for people that have trichotillomania, and there's, you know, but they work with their therapist. It's not instead of therapy, but it is something for ongoing support. Again, never instead of therapy. It's something that one goes to a therapist, and when the therapist feels that that person is ready to join a group, they can join a group with other peers that are going through that. How do you feel about peer-led groups?
Well, support groups can be extremely helpful. They can really help break a lot of the stigma, especially if you have people in those groups who have achieved some recovery or a recovery and can encourage other people. The only groups you have to watch out for basically are ones that, you know, just sort of evolve into gripe sessions where people just sit around and complain about how bad everything is and how badly they're doing. Those don't really help anybody. But a group that's, you know, positive, that encourages people to seek help, that puts them in contact with resources. There's a fair number of books out on the subject now. That years ago there were no books at all, basically. There was nothing. So I think that there's a lot more help now than there used to be. There's a lot of resources online, although, again, you have to be careful what you read there, because just because somebody posts something online or starts some kind of an online support group doesn't mean that it's legitimate or good. These things should be checked out and make sure that they, you know, really give out accurate and helpful information.
Right. Now, what sort of therapy, what model is generally used with people that have trichotillomania?
Well, as I said before, it's, you know, falls under the larger umbrella of what we call cognitive behavioral therapy, but that's only sort of a category. It's not a type of therapy. It's what we call it, the specialists who work in the field, we call it comprehensive behavioral therapy, or COMB, as some people refer to it as. And it's becoming, you know, better known among specialists. We teach it, actually. The foundation itself actually sponsors professional training institutes around the country to teach psychologists and social workers and psychiatrists how to treat these disorders. So we've been sponsoring education in using this approach. As I say, it does a very thorough behavioral analysis of the problem. It breaks it down into all the potential inputs and all the things that influence the person's behavior, that encourage the behavior, and then seeks to correct them or remedy them or find substitute behaviors or changes people's routines. And as I say, we modify whatever is feeding into the problem, whatever's causing it. And as I said, it's tailored to each individual. It's designed for each person. So one person's program, as I said, has said before, might not resemble somebody else's program. The principles would be the same, but the actual facets of the program, the actual parts of it, might look a bit different from person to person, depending on their input.
So, Doctor, when would a parent see that their child is biting their nails, picking their lips, pulling their hair out? at what point should a parent go for help when the, you know, children bite their nails? There are people that just sit and rub, you know, their finger or they pick on their lips while they're reading a book. At what point does a parent know that this is something that we really need to deal with?
Well, I think, number one, when there's, you know, certainly visible damage, when it becomes noticeable, that already is kind of a tip-off. I think when it looks like it's been going on for a period of time, when the damage itself is, you know, it's caused like bleeding or scabs or scars, when there's noticeable amounts of hair missing, you know, bald patches or missing portions of eyebrows or eyelashes, if it causes someone distress, I think...
Why do we need to wait until the eyelashes are all out or the eyebrows?
Well, you know, these things happen gradually, so sometimes people don't notice right away. But, I mean, the sooner you get to it, obviously the better I think you're going to do it. It doesn't become quite as established. A habit hasn't been going on for so long, and you really can do something about it. I mean,
got
you can treat it at any stage.
Very important conversation that we need to be aware of. There is pediatric trichotillomania. You need to watch it. And we're running out of time. Dr. Fred Henzel, please, I'd like you to give out your number one more time, please.
Yeah, it's 631-351-1729.
And I want to thank you so much for making the time tonight to speak to our listeners directly, that they should understand that's an issue and not wait until it's out of control. We need to recognize these things. And I'd like to give out Mask's confidential number, 718-758-0400. I want to wish everyone a very happy, healthy new year. I want to also wish you, Doctor, a happy and a healthy new year. Thank you for being on, and we should continue to educate the communities about all mental health issues. Call Mask for a referral. 718-758-0400. I want to wish you a very good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you and good night.
Doina Limited, importers of the finest kosher wines, brandies, and cognac from Israel and around the world, wants to make your Rosh Hashanah and Yom Tov a real celebration. We'll come to your shul or organization for a free wine tasting simcha. You get to experience Evans Lahav premium wines, Pesara di Piatra, Wild Goat, as well as our award-winning cognacs from France, Do Cognac XO, Marquis de Brim Cognac XO Decanter, Do Privilege, and our outstanding Pesara di Piatra brandy, all certified kosher to the highest standards. So let's start celebrating with premium kosher wines from Doina Limited. For more information, please contact 908-474-0400. That's 908-474-0400. This new year in Yom Tov, let the simcha begin. It seems that wherever you turn, there is another company advertising credit card processing. But did you know that there is only one company that most businesses and nonprofits in our community trust? The largest kosher supermarkets, the most recognized local charities, and national brands such as Goodyear Tire all did their research and all chose the same payments company. That company is Fidelity Payment Services. And there's a reason why. Fidelity is the only company powered by CardNax, a proprietary technology that delivers the lowest rates, fast chip processing, and the most reliable uptime. And we at TalkLine with Zev Brenner's show have been very happy clients for so many years as well. And there's a lot of reasons to sign up with Fidelity. Find out yours today at there'sareasonwhy.com. Again, that there'sareasonwhy.com. This concludes TalkLine's Jewish programming for tonight. Join us again Saturday night beginning at 9 p.m., going from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. Shabbat Shalom.